Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 6th of April, recording at 9:33 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were generally quite firm. I mean, China was down a tiny bit here today, but we had some good gains, including up over 3% on the Hang Seng Index. European stock markets started off quite firm and then gave up those gains as the day progressed, closed with small losses, mostly below 1%. And Wall Street was in negative territory throughout the day, but closed well off the lows with, again, declines of less than 1% on the three main indices. And elsewhere, long-dated government bonds also, they also eased in here, and that's right across the boards. And we've had some quite weak moves in that sector recently, but more on that in a moment. And precious metals, gold and silver, continued to be hit in here, and gold has taken out the reaction low that we had seen on the 18th of March, and that's brought bullion back to $870 as I speak. Commodities were all a little bit easier in here today. I think the exception was that I can see was corn, which was just up a cent, and industrial metals down except for lead. Now, that's a reversal of earlier gains. Copper, which had a big surge on Friday, pushed up very strongly at the start today to 203.7 cents, but fell back to 196.4 cents. And what else to mention? Crude down a little bit. The dollar was a bit firmer against most currencies, and the yen remained soft generally. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, if you've been watching stock markets, you know that it's been pretty amazing really since late in the first week of March, and that we've had this steady, persistent rally. Now, we had that downward dynamic on last Monday, and then that was more than reversed by the strong rally on Tuesday as markets ranged and mostly moved higher, but at a somewhat slower rate of advance. What's interesting is that people who were saying pretty well around the globe, judging from commentators on the Bloomberg television and CNBC. Not that I see all that much of it, but I do catch a bit of the commentary when I'm in my gym. And whereas previously people were saying sell into the rallies, now people are saying buy the dips. If people are saying buy the dips, that makes, and no longer saying sell the rallies, or fewer of them are saying sell the rallies, that suggests to me that there are more talking bulls than acting bulls. And most of the rally, inevitably, or a good chunk of it, I should say, maybe not most anymore, but a good chunk of the rally has come from short covering. And that's become a more hazardous pastime in recent weeks, and thus the firmness that we have seen in these stock markets. Now, overall, it's pretty impressive technical action. The markets that were clearly base building all along, those were mostly the Asian stock markets plus the South American resources markets, have been completing base formations. The markets in the middle of middle-ranking markets, which had fallen down to test their October and November lows, have bounced strongly from those levels and taken out some of the previous highs. And the weakest markets, which are represented mostly by Western markets, mainly Wall Street and the European indices have seen downside failures. In other words, they broke down to new lows in February and March, early March, but then have not maintained those downward breaks, and in some instances have rallied well back into the overhead trading ranges. But probably a fair number of them, undoubtedly a fair number of them, have also only rallied back into the lower side of those overall trading ranges. So downside failures, but not so significantly that one can say emphatically that those weaker markets have seen their final lows. Our view is that we'd give that the benefit of the doubt. We would give that hypothesis the benefit of the doubt. And if you want a technical level to watch for, I'm talking about those Western stock markets that had been weaker, then look at last Monday's reaction lows. Now, I wouldn't really worry at all about stock markets unless some of them took out last, or unless they started to take out last Monday's reaction lows. Now, that would guarantee nothing on the downside, but what it would say is that the rally that we have seen to date has lost upward momentum, and that we're going to get further ranging and maybe a bigger retracement of the rallies since those March lows. Now, overall, though, as I say, the action has been extremely impressive. I don't doubt that there's going to be lots of negative news in the months ahead, particularly coming out of the Western economies, which are at the epicenter of the credit and insolvency crisis. We really had two epicenters. The big one was on Wall Street, and the other ones were sort of dotted around Europe, which had embraced most of the policies that had been invented on Wall Street. Whereas the rest of the world avoided those problems, they were not able to escape unaffected, inevitably, in a global economy. But their banks are stronger, their savings rates are higher, their corporate profits are more often than not going to hold up a whole lot better. So, really, it's understandable that most eyes, particularly Western eyes, will continue to focus on Wall Street, on Obama, Congress, what happens with the stimulus programs, what happens with the toxic assets, what happens with the credit card problems, what happens with the property market, and to a similar extent, focusing on the same factors, only relevant local political leaders in the European economies. But meanwhile, the rest of the world is getting on with the business of doing business. And this is reflected in the superior performance that we see in stock markets. Now, some of you have heard me say this on a number of occasions, and it's not that I'm anti the West, far from it. I love living in the West and will always do so. But from a very practical standpoint of what do I do in my money, I invest where I feel I'm going to see the better growth rates, the better corporate earnings, where I think economic governance is superior. And that leads me to Asia, emerging Asia, and also the resources markets. And that's where my funds that are in equities are overwhelmingly focused, and that's going to remain the case overall. Now, if the technical picture were to change dramatically, if Asia were lagging in here, if the resources markets were lagging in here, then I'd feel quite differently about it. But that's not the case. Fortunately, I say fortunately because it's been a fuller money prediction that the markets that would lead us out of this crisis would be those fuller money themes led by the Asian emerging markets and also the resources markets. Now, developed country resources markets have really lagged the South American ones on this recovery. But Australia has seen a very sharp recovery from its lows since the first week of March. New Zealand has firm, but not as much as Australia has. Canada has certainly improved, but again, not as much, as I said, as we've seen with the Brazils. Brazil's the big one in terms of overall market capitalization. But to Colombia and Peru, for instance, and I think, yes, Colombia and Peru have done even better. And Chile's not doing a bad job either. So that's the way these markets are shaping up. I've said my whole career as the veteran of veteran subscribers, veterans of veteran subscribers will know, that markets that lead at the bottom of the bear market, and the bottom of the bear market is the same thing as the beginning of the next bull market, the markets that show early relative strength usually get by far the best overall percentage moves during whatever bull run unfolds. And ditto within all countries, that the sectors and shares which bottom either before their national indices or at least coincidentally and then show superior relative strength coming off those lows, that they generally go on and get by far the better overall average returns for at least three quarters of whatever upside we see subsequently in those markets. So you can see those by flipping through any of the individual share components of indices. You can use the filter system to bring up more of those candidates. But we work on a macro top-down basis. We provide the tools to do the share selection through the filters. But I'm very much guided by the overall top-down look, and as I say, it is dominated by those two sectors that I mentioned, which are interlinked, not surprisingly, Asian emerging markets and the resources markets. Now, again, as I mentioned, we can certainly expect more bad news to come out of the West, but I suspect that it will be less bad than people were expecting only a month ago. And if the news is less bad, then it's actually getting better. And that's what I expect to see overall. Moving on, long-dated government bonds. We have seen a lot of money moving out of that sector. And the fuller money view is that it has only been the threat or promise of quantitative easing, in other words, governments buying their own paper in this instance, that has kept yields at those very, very low levels. But we saw the U.S. Bond prices break down first a couple of months ago, no surprise there. So their yields have pushed up a bit more, or pushed up a bit earlier. And more recently, we've seen the JGB prices break down, and doing it in a consecutive day's run. So those yields pushing up a bit. And it looks to me like we're going to see the Australian government, long-dated government bond prices break down. Again, if you use commonality, which is a favorite tool of ours, they were all ranging, then none were breaking upwards out of those ranges. The U.S. broke down, Japan's broken down. It really does look as if Australia the UK and Euroland bond prices will do the same. Now, what would interrupt that process or delay it? That would be a sharp stock market correction. Not impossible. We have not seen the end of volatility by any means. And although I do feel that the evidence, balance of evidence, suggests that the bear market is over or at least ending among the laggards, that doesn't mean that we won't see some choppy volatility from time to time. And some of those lagging markets will see particularly long convalescence and periods relative to the leaders, China, for instance, which is already in an uptrend. And looking at currencies, now the yen has remained very weak. As we pointed out at the time, when the yen was just about the strongest currency going, the Japanese government said that this was unacceptable, or words to that effect, and gave it a nudge. I think it was the BOJ that probably said it, but gave it a nudge lower. The Swiss did the same sort of thing a few weeks later. As we've said on so many occasions, no country wants a strong currency in this environment. It's just that some countries need a weaker currency more than others. So right now, the yen is the weakest currency. But it has become a bit of a crowded trade, and it doesn't mean that it's over, but it means that a lot of people are running positions there. It means that the unwinding of the yen carry is not only over, but that some people are reopening yen carry trades, as I've mentioned before. Now, a major theme at Fuller Money was that when the yen and the dollar stopped being strong, and we felt that it would happen first with the yen, that would be good for stock markets generally. It would be signaling that the global deleveraging of carry trade positions, which were mainly in the yen followed by the dollar, was ending. And looking at the charts of the US dollar generally, it looks vulnerable. Whether the dollar comes down rapidly or slowly in a mostly ranging phase, I do not know. It's slow at the moment. And then, again, I did mention earlier that the dollar had an up day in here today, although not a big one. US dollar index is at 84.57, and I think the yen's about 25% of that relationship, so it tends to flatter it. But Eurodollar, for instance, is not all that much change. It's at 134.22. But the Antipodean currencies have been the strong ones in here, and I think that's going to be the case for a while. I think the Asian currencies that are allowed to float freely look quite attractive. They weakened dramatically in that stock market collapse last year that really mostly ended in October and November, although their currencies, many of those Asian currencies, continued weaker. China pegged its currency more tightly to the US dollar, and it's remained, that link has remained. But I, for instance, shorted the dollar against the Singapore dollar in here today. So I'm looking for more opportunities to short the greenback. And what else to mention here? Well, commodities. Copper has had a tremendous run, maybe a little bit overextended here in the short term, judging by today's action. But these industrial commodities have shown this base building activity for a number of months now. My feeling is that the downside risk is that they just extend those patterns. In other words, those type 3 ranging and bases just extend with a few more weeks or few more months sort of ranging base building activity, but that the next big move is on the upside. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw mostly ranging activity for some of the laggards, such as nickel and aluminium. But the more important point is, again, because we're still obviously in a global recession, and but the more important point definitely is that the bottoming out activity is quite apparent. If the dollar weakens sooner rather than later, that would give those industrial commodities an additional boost on the upside. Now, lastly, talk about gold, a little bit about gold and silver. I've described them previously as being in that awkward period where the people who had bought on fear, the fear of the global depression, and people are dropping that terminology for the most part. They're talking about a possible depression now, and others are just saying the worst recession since whenever. But the people who had bought in fear of absolute total economic collapse have been drifting away, predictably, and demand from those long-term bullion buyers who want a hard currency position, hedge their risks in fiat currencies, in other words, that hasn't taken up the slack sufficiently to check this decline as the previous fear buyers, as I'll describe them, drift away. Now, I don't think we're all that far away from a bottom point in this reaction. Gold, as it approaches the 850 level, if it does that, and it's down at 870, so it's getting close to a level that a number of people have said previously was a region where they would be interested in acquiring gold bullion. I did mention that it had moved below its low that was seen on the 18th of March, so that hit sentiment a little bit more in here today. Silver is back down testing that same level, although it hasn't gone through it, down in the low $12 region. It may go a little lower, but I think we've seen most of the reaction that we're going to get in both gold and silver. Platinum and palladium have held up stronger. So my feeling is that while it's a risky leveraged trade when a market is in retreat, that for conservative long-term buyers, I felt all along, and I've said all along, as has Owen, that for years, that the best time to purchase these precious metals is when they are experiencing those weaker periods due to overall profit taking. I should also add that I'm not looking for any explosive moves on the upside in precious metals. They may occur, but that would be a pleasant surprise rather than something that I strongly expect at this stage. We're moving into a period of seasonal underperformance for precious metals. They don't always underperform during the second and third quarters, but they sometimes do. On average, they do better during the third, beg your pardon, during the fourth quarter and first quarter of the year, and underperform, as to say, during the second and third quarters. But my view overall is that gold and silver easing back down into ranges where buyers will find them now find them more interesting. And I think that's pretty much it. Sorry about the scratchy voice here today. And I'll just wrap up here by saying all the very best to all of you.